Chapter 53. I peered at Avanik from a distance. Unlike all the previous guardians I had spied, this one blended well with the tall trees of the forest. Its black coat shined, a picture of perfect health. The panther demon was much smaller than Bast. She was maybe a shade bigger than Epsilon, but easily smaller than Orthrus, and a lot smaller than the Shrill. Moritasgus had managed to knock down every tree in his path, creating a wide rift of destruction from the fields to his hiding spot a quarter mile behind me. I had him burrow himself, but he wasn't truly hidden, not with that path of devastation behind him. Banksy was also buried. He kept himself out of both guardians' range, especially Moritasgus. The panther could easily be mistaken for a large hill in the middle of the forest. He somehow managed to prowl through the area without knocking hardly any trees down. I suspected it was because of his long, lean legs. The kaiju's lower bulk likely rose above the top of even the most enormous of trees, and he was careful where he stepped. My badger kaiju, on the other hand, had much shorter legs and had a haphazard, stumbly way of walking. So he bulldozed his way through the trees and everything else in his path. I wasn't sure the best way to get Clara's attention. My first idea was to get inside of Avanik, hunt down Clara's base, and knock on the door. Unless she'd altered the permissions, I wouldn't be allowed inside. But would she hear me there at the door? The bases filtered out most exterior noises. I wasn't so sure she would. After thinking about it some, I went for the second option. I was to have Moritasgus smack the panther around a bit. She'd notice that for sure. But as I loaded up the Guardian menu, I spied something that gave me pause. Winky. She fluttered near the panther's flank. She appeared to be hunting fireflies as they blinked off and on in the forest.
Winky!
The moment she heard me, she popped away in a panic. But a moment later, she popped back into existence a few feet in front of me. Hi, Winky. I don't know what you're saying, but can you tell Clara I'm here? I felt the barrel of the gun against the back of my head. I engaged my shield, dropped, and twisted, aiming up. A moment later, I grinned and dropped the gun. Clara. She had changed. Oh boy, had she changed. I pulled the floating fairy into a tight embrace. She retracted her wings, allowing me to hold on to her. For several seconds, she didn't embrace me back. But then she grasped me tightly, hugging me so hard I took a small amount of damage.
Ugh. You've been working on your strength.
It's the new armor. It gives me a plus 15 to my strength. It's the most powerful fey armor in the game.
The black power armor was made of the same composite as Sundered skin. The slick, light armor was a full bodysuit designed for her kind, complete with a helmet that covered her head. Her face and her hands were the only parts of her body left exposed. That armor had to be worth at least 1,000,000 teeth, maybe more. She'd also upgraded her gun. It was identical to my own Epiviper, though hers was the standard edition that shot red pulses instead of blue. Did you manage to get to Medina? She didn't answer for several moments. She looked at me almost hesitantly, as if she wasn't expecting this enthusiastic of a reaction from me.
I did. Cone of silence plus invisibility, plus flying very high, very fast, and I managed to barely get in. They still sensed me. The Blood Wyverns, they have some sort of radar, I think. Once I got into town, I upgraded my teleport to level 4, so now I can freely jump to Medina, to my base, to Bast, and to the cockpit of the Opera. That one is a long story.
Her demeanor changed once again as she put her hands on her hips.
So, where the hell have you been?
She teleported us both back to her base inside of Avanik. She had decorated the base with the default skin. This room looked even more like Anatoly's base than the Worm Surgeon equivalent. In fact, I suspected she was using the human default skin and not the Fey one. The apartment was littered with garbage and equipment. Candy wrappers and popsicle sticks lay strewn about. She'd purchased multiple upgrades for the space, including a television that took up the entire brick wall and a level 5 Fey food box that I knew cost over 5 million teeth. She'd left the television on to a Korean channel. Even though I didn't speak a word of the language, I'd watched so much of the show when we were in Bast that I actually recognized some of the characters. This wasn't her favorite soap opera, but it was one she mildly followed. For the next several hours, we recounted our stories. I told her what had happened. Her reaction was similar to Banksy's when she learned about the jail.
Damn it! I should have known! I hadn't even thought of that! I looked everywhere for you. You weren't in the Medina jail, and when I approached Little Cibola, they wouldn't let me in. So I figured you weren't there either. I even went into the Shrill, thinking you were stuck in your own base.
Clara told me of discovering a hidden tree camp occupied with Fey. From there, she'd received a quest that involved getting to the bottom of the large lake just west of Medina. In doing so, she ended up raising the ire of the fish-like Dagon race. It ended with her getting control of the opera. There was some long, convoluted story about how Avanik and the opera were made at the same time and shared some sort of guardian DNA. The head of the Dagon clan in the end decided Clara was worthy, blah blah blah. It was all typical game stuff. With the Salamander Guardian, she attacked a pavilion owned by a mid-level demon lord who transformed herself into a giant pig thing. They fought. The opera won. And somehow after that, Clara also got the controller for Avanik. I decided my quest was cooler. After that, Clara spent the rest of her time building herself up. She was now level 52. She would set both guardians to attack large enemy encampments and pavilions while she approached by air. The three of them would tear through encampments, wreaking absolute destruction. The only thing she couldn't yet handle were the pavilions closer to the rift and the army camped outside of Medina. She'd attempted her three-pronged assault on the pavilion of Andrus, the demon we were supposed to kill for Stolas, and both her guardians were dead in moments, and she'd been blasted out of the sky. She claimed she was gearing up to attempt the assault again, but based on the condition of her apartment, I suspected she was more likely just catching up on her soap operas, waiting for that timer to run itself out. At Clara's current level, she had risen to well above the point needed for one to win the game in single-player mode, but I could see it in her eyes. As happy as she appeared, there was something there under the surface. A deep well of defeat. She had given up, and she was ready to die. We can still do this. It's not too late.
For a while there, I thought we could actually pull it off. I have control of two guardians, and so do you. Plus, I thought we might be able to level Banksy up enough. That gives us 5. But it's not going to work. I'm sorry, Duke. It's not. I learned a little bit about the endgame from the Fey Guildmaster. She told me only directly controlled guardians can get through the gate. That means the Shrill and Avanik only. No more Tazgus, no Opera. No Banksy either if he hits level 50 before we want to go in there. 2 guardians against all of hell. And once they die, they regenerate back on this side of the rift. So you have to start over again. When Anatoly did it with 3 players, it took them 2 days. And he'd used a cheat. He never said what the cheat was, but knowing what I know now, I have a pretty good idea. He told me that Bast had died at least 20 times in there. Do you know what that means? He made it so the Guardians could respawn where they fell. That made them basically immortal. They chipped away a Bale over and over. It took them 2 days to do it. 2 days, Duke. It took 3 Guardians with 3 experienced players with OP immortal Guardians 2 whole fucking days to take down the same boss you want us to attempt to kill.
This is too much. This is too much.
We can. We have to try.
If we try, he'll know. He'll do something to mess it up.
You mean Jenk?
Yes. He's here. And you knew he was here. And you didn't tell me.
Okay. Let me explain what happened. She stiffened, but I didn't pause. I proceeded to tell her the full story of the amplification and of how I'd been rescued by the Lycan. I told her of what he'd said.
Tell her, you know who misses her mommy. But not to worry, she's in great hands.
He's talking about my daughter. I was pregnant when I came here.
She paused, looking at me, afraid. It was the first real emotion I'd seen from her since we'd reunited.
It's how I met Anatoly, actually. He promised me he could take care of the pregnancy. He said he was an activist. They called it the New American Underground Railroad. He was going to get me into Canada.
Washington State had been the last holdout when the abortion laws in the United States had reversed. For several years, the state had defied the federal ban. And as a result, the Seattle area had, for a while, boasted the highest concentration of women's health clinics in the country. The feds finally cracked down a few years back. I shivered, remembering the news from that day. There'd been a protest and a gun battle. Arrests were made during a procedure, resulting in the death of the mother. Both sides of the debate called that day Bloody Wednesday. But after that, most of the practitioners of formerly legal and safe abortions fled over the border into Canada. That made Vancouver, British Columbia, the new safe abortion capital of North America. But getting there for the procedure was next to impossible. It was illegal to leave the country while pregnant. A new criminal enterprise emerged. They called them coyotes. Some were legit, most were not, and they preyed on desperate and scared pregnant women attempting to get over the border.
So I told you before, I was a test subject for these guys. I could take it. Paulo liked fucking boys while slicing their throats, and he cooked them up. Princess, she played a midwife, by the way. She liked making girls dress up in doll clothes, and she'd sew buttons on their eyes and zippers on their backs. Then she'd drain their blood and stuff them with goose down. She was a weird one. Frank also liked sewing. He chopped people up and sewed them back together, turning several people into one. All boys except the heart. Then he'd sleep, not fuck, but actually sleep, with the body for a few days. Smash South liked bringing people to the edge of death and then jerking himself off. Or fucking them. He was different than the others. Not as smart. Not as consistent.
She grasped my knee.
There were others, too. All of them sick. But none of them, not a one, was anything like the Canadian. Jank. His thing is torture. Not just physical torture. Cruelty. He learns what you fear the most, and then he makes it happen. It's not sexual. Maybe it's a power thing. Maybe he is so utterly devoid of emotion that this is the only way he can make himself feel. I don't know. He looks at something, and he instantly knows how to break it in the worst possible way. He is the devil. The literal devil.
What did he do to you?
I had another child from before. A son. He died in a car accident.
I felt a pang at that. It was as if she'd stabbed me in the chest.
That loss, it hung so thoroughly on me that I didn't think I could feel anything again. And when I found out I was pregnant again, I
rubbed her back, feeling helpless. Christ, she's wearing armor. She can't even feel your hand. She had lost a child. She was just like me. You don't have to continue.
No, I need to. So I was pregnant when I came in here. But I'd been here so long, I didn't know what was happening with my real body or the baby. When I was given to Jank, the first thing he did was show me what I'd missed. He played a video of me giving birth while I was passed out in the rig. There was a doctor, and he cut the baby out of me. It was a girl. A beautiful baby girl. Anatoly was there with two other men. One of them had their face blurred in the video, and it was Cenk. Anatoly called him that in the video. He's tall and thin. I remember his wrists were so slim, almost like he was anorexic. Then it showed the doctor giving the baby to him, to Cenk. He switched the video off then.
Holy shit, so he has your baby. He's kidnapped your child.
He showed me more videos of me breastfeeding my baby while I slept, of him changing her diapers. He would whisper to her, "Your mother tried to kill you, little one. But you don't worry. I have you now." He would show me videos of her playing with two women with their faces obscured. I don't know who they are.
That's awful. But as awful as it is, at least she's being taken care of.
No! No! He's the devil! He knows what's in my head! They were going to take Solomon from me! I had nightmares about him being raised by others. Screaming nightmares! I dream about the new home, about them telling him your mother didn't want you. Don't you see? Cenk knows this. He knows! They couldn't take Solomon. But they took my daughter! And they're telling her I didn't want her! Just like my dad said to me about my mom.
There was a lot to unpack there. Solomon was her dead son. He died in a car accident, but it sounded like she was about to lose custody of him. Clara was mentally ill, terribly so. Her son had died, and when Clara got pregnant again, she found Anatoly, who had promised to get her an abortion. Some of the dots started connecting. How long has Cenk been in the game?
I don't know. He was here when I first arrived. He was one of the originals.
I was starting to suspect he was more than one of the first ones. He was one of the game's creators. Not a client, but one of Anatoly's partners. If he'd been there, physically there, when Clara's child had been born, that meant he knew where they kept us. That was a problem. A big one. Clara was right. He would mess it up one way or another. He could stop us on either side of the veil. He could prevent us from winning the game. Or worse, he could possibly do something to our physical bodies. He'd know when we were going for the final boss. Apparently, the whole realm went nuts the moment a player stepped foot into hell. And if Cenk even suspected, we might be about to wake up in our rigs. I didn't want to think about it. This guy had possibly engineered the fake suicides of a dozen people in jail cells in different countries. And if he could manage that, two people in his basement wouldn't be a problem. I fingered the amulet around my neck, thinking. I thought of the cutscene I'd watched after I asked Fiona about the prophecy. It had offered a glimmer of hope. Something had to be done with Cenk. The first tendrils of an idea started to form in my mind. So what happened? Banksy said you got into a fight with Cenk and Orthrus, but you beat him.
I didn't beat him. I did the same thing as you. I used Avanik's fatal attack. It's called Hail and Kill. It forces the target to cast their most expensive spell, whatever it is. The attack kills Avanik, but it forced Orthrus to cast Crab Cakes, which is his fatal attack. It's the same one you described before. He split in half, and then all of his guts leaked out of him. After that, Cenk hasn't been back.
You're avoiding my question. All that is what happened when the two kaiju fought. What happened when you were face to face? Before the Guardian fight?
He went inside of Avanik, started cutting him up from the inside. I went out to meet him, and we fought. I thought it was a demon boss. If I'd known it was him, I never would have gone out there. Still, he wasn't expecting me to be so powerful. He's probably the same level as me, maybe one higher or lower. Once you're around level 50, it doesn't matter so much. He tried to cast deceleration on me, and that was his mistake.
She held up a ring I hadn't noticed before. It held a sliver of blue jade on a silver ring.
I knew that was his go-to, so I bought this in Medina. It protects against bindings, and it reflects a spell at the caster. So he ended up frozen, not me. I tossed him into Avanik's stomach. It was better than he deserved. Still, it's a very painful death. The meat on your body melts right off. He didn't log out, though. Most of these guys usually eject the moment the consumable fights back. Jenk and I talked for a bit as he was dying. I watched him sink below the surface, his body consumed. A couple minutes later, Orthrus attacked.
I suspected the talked for a bit part was more involved than that. But I wouldn't be getting more out of her on that particular subject. She'd gone from hysterical and sobbing Clara to matter-of-fact Clara in a blink. This version of Clara was the one I was most familiar with. This particular personality was always light on details. I mentally prepared myself for this next part. You said you had something to tell me in your note. What did Jenk tell you?
Huh? Oh, your kids. Ruth and Chris. No, that wasn't Jenk. Thankfully for you, he doesn't seem very interested in you. He didn't even know you were missing when we talked. He doesn't think it's possible for only two people to win, so you're a non-entity to him. You're like a backup toy to him, sitting on the shelf and getting dusty. He'll only play with you if his favorite one breaks.
If the Canadian didn't say anything, then what's going on? What is it you're trying to say? She looked for a moment as if she wasn't going to answer. I could see her gathering up the courage.
So, remember before when Smash South told you that I had selected you and you had asked me about it? I told you that they had thrown a bunch of pictures at me and I was forced to pick one. So I picked yours.
I remember. I suddenly had a very uneasy feeling. She could do that. Clara was the human version of an unstable fault line. Fine one moment, terrifying the next.
That was a lie. I follow you on Instagram. I followed you for a long time. Your shattered heart mural in Georgetown? I cried when I first saw it.
That mural adorned the side of the South Seattle Naranon space. It depicted a heart made of glass, cracked, and covered in tire tracks. It wasn't a subtle message. But sometimes these things weren't meant to be subtle. Okay.
Smash South had a thing. He wanted people to watch. It's really fucked up. Before, he had a poet in here. A woman. He made her write couplets and shit about him torturing people. I think I told you about her before. They gave that one to Frank and then Princess. After that, we had an artist. And Smash South was almost happy with the results. But he wanted another one. He asked me if I knew anyone. He was joking, but I answered anyway. I said yes. I knew someone. I told them about you.
I felt cold. You asked them to bring me in here.
They were going to bring someone in anyway. He asked me, and it just came out. At the time, I didn't think they'd really pick you. But yeah, now you know. He asked me if I could think of anybody, and I blurted out your name.
Fucking Instagram. I didn't even know how the ancient social media platform worked. Ruth had set it up for me, insisted it was important for artists to have a presence on there. I had an AI running that picked the best photos from my portfolio and posted them for me. I knew I had several thousand followers. Tens of thousands, actually. But I rarely looked at it, or the comments. But why? You immediately thought of me? There are millions of better artists out there. You didn't even know me. Clara had changed once again. She did this rapid cycling when she was angry or stressed. And now she was angry.
I picked you because I saw your mural. Don't you understand? I saw it, and I knew you were just like me. You lost a child. You lost a son. Yes, I know exactly who you are. I know the whole story. I followed it since the beginning. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. You have that hole in you. The dark place. The emptiness. You and I are the same. You don't want to go on. How could you? How could anybody go on after that? I knew this, and I knew you because you are me. You're already dead. We both are. So I picked you before they could pick someone else.
I sat there, in stunned silence for a very long time. How does one react to something like that? Clara, I began. But then I shut my mouth. I didn't know what I felt. I knew I was supposed to be angry. Enraged. She had lied. She was the reason I was here. She was just as culpable as Anatoly and Jenk and Smash South and all the others. But I wasn't mad at her. And it took me a long while to understand why. How could I be mad? She was right. By God. She was right. I was already dead. I'd been dead this whole time. If this was going to happen to somebody, and I'd been forced to make a similar choice, I'd probably do the same thing. But now, I had a purpose. That darkness, that deep well of pain, that empty place. It was not a burden. Not anymore. It was a tool. Yes, I was already dead. But there were others who needed to be that way too. And I would use every last breath to make sure it happened. This is what we're going to do.
You have just survived a deep dive into Kaiju Battlefield Surgeon Episode 7, Epsilon. Written by Matt Dinneman. Featuring Gary Francis Furlong as Fronk, Annie Ellicott as Winky and Viceroy, and Will Watt as Hito and the Sundered Police, Andrea Parsno as Janzig and Banksy, and Dory Sachs as Clara. Music by Aaron J. Morton. Sound design and additional music by Ahmed Mahmoud. Additional sound effects by Richard Smith and Augustine Jacob. Editing and mastering by Richard Smith. Narrated and directed by Jeff Hayes. Want more Kaiju Battlefield Surgeon? Join our newsletter at soundbooththeatre.com and stay up to date on the next episode, releasing every last Thursday of the month. Can't wait for a month for the whole story? You can find Kaiju Battlefield Surgeon on Kindle by searching Amazon. Can't get enough of the Matt Dinneman and Jeff Hayes team? Check out Dungeon Crawler Carl on Audible. Looking for more game-lit and lit RPG audio? Check out the fantastic communities out there in Facebook groups, including the Gamelit Society, Lit RPG Books, and the Lit RPG Forum. Or, if Reddit is more your style, check out r/LitRPG. Text copyright 2019 by Matt Dinneman. Production copyright 2021 by Sound Booth Theatre. A Sound Booth Theatre production.